Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glamarn, and Derek O'Connor today. Hi, Derek.
Good afternoon, everybody. How are we doing? All right.
Right, we're in Saudi Arabia. These are obviously the last two races, Derek. It's the last two races for this type of car. It's the last two races of this championship. And it's all to play for. I mean, really, can it get any more exciting?
Yeah, and the circuit, my God, I've just watched FP1 and wow.
Quite a track, eh?
Disappointed in a bit that it's so narrow.
Oh, Derek, runoff, oh my God.
Blah, blah, blah. I know, but hell, it's going to be superb. There's going to be carnage, I hope.
Right.
I really hope there's going to be carnage, because if it's not and they all go into procession, I'm going to fall asleep before we've got round the third corner. Right, that's my
your take on it. Look, the thing is, Derek, we as a track, it's similar in the sense that the barriers are all around the track. It's very similar to somewhere like Monaco, even Baku, I guess we could argue. Baku's maybe got a wee bit more space. But this particular track, sweeping bends. They're having to feather the throttle. We've got high curbs in places. Not all the bends are flat. We've got two hairpins at each end. Honestly, folks, if you've not seen the track, go on the Formula One website, have a look. There's some onboards, but you can see that the track itself is not a circuit designed to be a circuit. It's a track built into a coast front. It's a marketing thing. But actually, to be fair, they've done a not bad job by the looks of it.
to say they were still hammering nails in it at 2 o'clock this morning or whatever time it was, and still painting the front door and all that. So, yes, they've done a really good job. They've got it together.
The best way it's been described as Suzuka with walls, I think, is probably a close summary of certain parts of that track. It's not fully the case.
No. The one I liked was sort of Silverstone with walls. You know, Silverstone's with Monaco walls. That's what I heard as well, so...
This particular track is the fastest track in the calendar for average speed. It's even faster than Silverstone, which is surprising. We will see how it plays out for a race, but it does actually have three DRS zones as well, Derek, which is going to spice things up as well. This weekend, it could just be a case of keeping the car out of the wall. We expect it to come here and it'd be a bit dusty, a bit sand, but they've been out there, they've cleaned it. It is a new track, but thankfully it didn't wind up being like Turkey was. So the team seem to be happy with the grip levels and so on for it being a green track. However,
I think we'll get an idea of what it's going to be like when we see some of the Formula 2 races that are on this weekend as well. We should get an idea of how the overtaking is going to work, and I'm sure all the F1 teams will be sat watching a race on the track rather than everything they've done in the simulators and all the rest of it sort of thing, to actually see a race on the track and see what happens when cars go head to head and actually go at full beans trying to get positions.
I think one thing I would say, Derek, is we did notice from the onboards of FP1 that when the drivers are going round, a lot of these bends are effectively blind. You're going round a bend doing close to 200 miles an hour. If there's a slow car around that bend, unless the marshals are on it, there could be incidents and nothing pleasant by the looks of it.
Well, I believe that they've brought in marshals from Bahrain, and they're going to be positioned at each marshal point.
There's 27 bends that have been allocated number-wise to this particular track. Thankfully, they're not going through names. So we've just watched FP1, and FP2 will be, these are UK times, 5 till 6 this evening, and then practice tomorrow will be from 2 till 3. Qualifying is going to be from 5 till 6 under the spotlights, and the race will kick off at 5:30 on Sunday. The weather for the weekend, funnily enough, sunny, 31, 30, 32, so it's going to be warm. It'll be cooler into the evenings, but we should have a dry race. Derek, obviously the main talking point for this weekend has got to be the fight, the championship battle between Max and Lewis. There's 8 points between them. In FP1, there was only a half a tenth between them, but they had compromised runs. There was back markers, and they're still learning the track, but it wasn't soft tyres. This weekend, Derek, how do you see it playing out?
It's either they're going to blow each other up and, we have to go move on to the next race to find out who's the world champion. And it's the secondary markers that might, the wingmen that might bring home the championship for the other teams.
Well, what we'd say, just on the back markers there, in FP1, Perez was 11th and Bottas put in a solid third performance. But Bottas, unfortunately, has only outscored Max three times this season. that kind of is very telling. That's why Lewis finds himself in this situation, why Mercedes find themselves in this situation. But likewise, it's not that Perez has set the heather alight in the Red Bull either. It really is a two-horse race. Maybe Bottas can pull something out of his backside on this track, though?
Yes, see, you know, might be able to pull a rabbit and go, look, I've prepared this earlier for Alfa Romeo. No, look, it's all going to be down to the first corner, first couple of laps, and once we settle down and we know what's going to happen, it'll all be done on tyre changes. It'll all be done on the undercut or the overcut. I don't think it's going to be down to on-track racing where somebody has the chance to overtake it. I'll stand corrected once I've seen some of the racing in FP2, and let's see where the drivers can overtake and overtake. But I think it's that narrow. And if you sit in the middle of the track, you're as wide as a bus and you won't get anybody around you.
Yeah. I mean, they've put in the three DRS zones, but they all seem to be on the back straight running up to the top hairpin, turn 27, then the DRS down to the main straight. Maybe as a sequence of DRS, the first one will get you close, the second one will get you closer, you come at the last hairpin, you've got the main straight, at least maybe then you can get the overtake done. So there is a possibility that way, but as it stands at the moment, looking at this, there's going to be, maybe mistakes will cause some of the overtakes. And once we get into a position where they're having to overtake back markers, I think it's going to make it very difficult as well as dangerous in places. But if they've got the right marshals in play and these guys are getting blue flags, hopefully we won't have any incidents. As you said, obviously, it's the walls are very close. With this type of weekend, Eric, a bit like Monaco, these drivers will be building up the speed over the weekend as they get more and more used to the actual track, as they get confidence in the car and the tyres. Do you think by the time we get to qualifying, we're going to see the usual guys at the front, or do you think we're going to see maybe other people maybe bursting through? Maybe the McLarens, which did really well in Monza, maybe the Ferraris. Do you think they're maybe going to play a part in this championship battle?
I don't think they'll play a part in the front two. I think third and fourth, you know, for the other points, they also ran points that should really be Perez's and Bottas's to take. I think we might see other drivers in them, but I don't think Max and Lewis are in a field of their own. They really are out there beyond the other people. Right now, I can see everybody else having a good go, and it might turn out to be a really interesting race from third to 20th. You know what I mean? That could be really close and really tight and, you know, God forbid it, but Mazepin might even get into the points, you know, and things like that.
Yeah.
Because there's got to be carnage somewhere along the line because it's so narrow and it just needs one little lack of concentration and there's going to be cars off, red flags, bunch everybody back up again, start again, same thing again. That is how I see it going, but if they go for it. If they don't go for it and they think, oh, we'll just have a Sunday drive and just stay behind the car in front of us.
I think we're trying to let this...
two ways of looking at it.
Yeah, I think we're trying to let this, Derek. It does mean that it's a bit Monaco-esque in that pole position is definitely going to be the priority. Can you see Lewis? Because obviously the engine that he's got in the car here has only done Brazil. Do you think that's going to help him out? Do you think that if he can just get... if he can get pole position, he can take the win... and then we take it to the last race of the season, depending on where fastest lap winds up, but just a first and second, and we go to the last race. But you know where the drama does come in is pit stops, stuck wheel nuts, wheel-to-wheel racing with back markers, trying to get through, going over the curb, damaging something in the car, and that may actually be the thing that decides the race on Sunday. If you get a chance to actually watch the onboards, it's a great-looking track in that regard.
Yeah.
With this year's car, I think we're struggling, as you said, for overtakes, and maybe that the three DRS zones will help. Next year, who knows? But we're at this track for the next 10 years, so a bit of a marketing thing going on, but likewise, if the track does present a good race in these cars, then fingers crossed for the next 9 thereafter.
Yeah.
That'll make a bit of a difference. Derek, out with that, obviously we've got the Ferrari, well, it's not really a battle anymore. I feel the Ferrari-McLaren thing is all over. All Ferrari have to do is keep the powder dry and the next two races, not do anything crazy. McLaren, on the other hand, I mean, they can just go for it, but can you see them? I mean, it's such a big deficit, 31 points or something. And the point scoring positions that they're scoring, that's an uphill battle. They're not going to be able to achieve
it. It's a massive uphill struggle. But again, two Ferraris could take each other out of the first corner, and then then McLaren just have a nice easy stroll round, come third and fourth, take a few points, and it's game on again. So all down to the last race. So I think there's a chance of a build up, but I don't see it happening realistically. You know, that's the truth.
Derek, 50 laps to actually go on Sunday. Lap wise, do you think it's going to be something along the lines pit strategy is going to be a medium to hard again? Because the softs are probably only good for qualifying. It is going to be into the evening, but I'm not sure how it's going to play. The teams will obviously be looking at where, but do you think it's a one or a two stop this race?
I think it's going to be a one stop and in tyres gone.
Yeah.
That's it. One only stop, because I don't think they want to give the opportunity for undercuts and overcuts. So they'll do it as little as possible. Maybe if the undercut happens, they might say, okay, we'll put, if we're close enough, we'll put tyres on for the last couple of, you know, last 10 laps. If putting the, you know, the soft tyres on will make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
And they can get through.
I mean, Derek, as you mentioned there, maybe red flags and stuff, I think we'll have a closer race because of the pit strategy being based around safety cars and red flags, maybe. It does feel like it's going to be that. The tyres that we are actually using are the middle compounds, the C2, C3 and C4. They were out running on the softs, but they all seemed relatively happy. It did look like they were putting in some good performance with the softs. The track was giving up some of its grip quite easily. It wasn't too sandy. It was a bit dusty in places, maybe offline, right in towards the wall. But overall, between that and the support races, I think we'll be getting a better surface for them to race on than we did in Qatar. Other news, obviously, we lost Frank Williams last weekend, and all the drivers have got sort of wee Frank Williams signs and stuff on their cars. Derek, I mean, Frank Williams, it does feel like the end of an era. The last sort of like great team owners, and at least there's still a team there with his name on it. But sad to lose him. Had a good innings. He was 79, so can't complain to a certain extent, but he'll certainly be well remembered and fondly remembered by all the drivers,
everyone.
Up and down.
I mean, what a man, what a team boss. The people he's brought through, the people he's had in his teams, the drivers he's had, you know, working for Williams, I mean, you know, the championships he's won, greatest team owner for a long, long time. The last of the team owners, the last of the, you know, the last of the dinosaurs, basically, you know, because they've gone.
Well, that's
now
it.
it's all owned.
Well, it's all your Toto Wolffs and people like that, you know.
Your Toto Wolffs.
Drinks teams and car manufacturers, I suppose, the independents, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, last of the great independent teams, sort of thing.
Yeah. He'll be sadly missed. Folks, that's pretty much it for us. Join us over the weekend. We'll be here after qualifying and then after the race. And hopefully we'll be talking about taking the race down to the last race of the season, as opposed to it being a decider here at this particular race because you had DNF or something like that. Derek, there's nothing else for me to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe. Take care. Looking forward to this race. It's going to be a good weekend. Bye for now.
This has been a Beta Cat production for DNF1.